but I want to be one who is healthy and energetic, not one who is sad and forgetful. By using the strategies I am teaching you, I have not only dropped 25 pounds since writing the first edition of this book, but I feel more energetic and more productive than I did 30 years ago. Another exciting development comes from Dr. Dale Bredesen of UCLA. He put 10 patients with Alzheimer's disease, or its precursor, known as mild cognitive impairment, on a comprehensive and personalized treatment program similar to the one you'll find in this chapter. Within 6 months of completing the program, 9 of the 10 patients displayed improvements in thinking or memory. 6 were able to return to work or continue working with better performance. The gains have been sustained for up to 4 years for some patients, much like Nancy's story in the introduction. A larger study from Finland reported similar findings. These studies dovetail with our experience at Amen Clinics. Bredesen's work centers around 4 central concepts. 1. Optimize parameters, don't just normalize them. For example, vitamin D, testosterone, and thyroid levels need to be in the optimal or high normal range, not just anywhere in the normal range. 2. Multiple mechanism approach. When we get sick or age, it is never just one biological mechanism, such as blood flow, that fails us. It is generally multiple mechanisms, such as blood flow, toxic buildup, nutrient depletion, and inflammation. 3. Personalize based on individualized parameters. The interventions need to be tailored to your unique situation. 4. Iterative, optimized over time. You can never stop being a brain warrior. Once you stop, the weapons of mass destruction, highly processed, low fiber, high glycemic, pesticide-sprayed food, and aging will overwhelm you. Basic training for a brain warrior means developing the skills to love and care for your brain to keep it as healthy for as long as possible. In this chapter, I'm going to give you our 12-step program to explode your potential, reverse illness, and significantly reduce your risk for Alzheimer's disease. Step number 1. Develop brain envy. Freud was wrong. Penis envy is not the cause of most of your problems. He was about 2.5 feet too low on your body. Falling in love with your brain is the first step to reclaiming, sustaining, and strengthening your brain. Far too many people don't consider the importance of keeping their brain healthy. You can see the wrinkles in your skin or the fat around your belly and do something when you are unhappy with how they look. However, since most people never look at their brains, most have no idea if and when they are headed for trouble. To get truly well, it starts by developing a deep sense of love and care for your brain, what I call brain envy. Here's one of my favorite stories about brain envy from Jason Garner, former CEO of Global Music for Live Nation, and the author of And I Breathed, My Journey from a Life of Matter to a Life That Matters. 5 years ago, I was at the top of my career, and then it all came crashing down. I found myself in the middle of my second divorce. My mom died suddenly from cancer, and I was soon unemployed. Those events were the beginning of a journey that led me to study health, peace of mind, and spiritual awareness with many of the world's leading experts. As part of that journey, I attended a health conference where I saw Dr. Amen speak. as I listened to him talk about the importance of focusing on brain health, I realized that in all my self-exploration and wellness practice, I had completely overlooked one of the most important parts of me, my brain. As a family, we went through the Amen Clinic's method and got scanned. The medical staff gave us a plan to change our brains and keep them healthy throughout life. The doctor spoke to my children about the ways they could avoid damaging their brains through contact sports, alcohol, and drugs. We discussed how, as a family, we could better understand our brain function and how that affected our interactions with each other. This has led us to include brain exercises in our daily routine, to take supplements that promote brain health, and to think about the brain when choosing our foods. The best way to sum up our experience is to say that we now have a giant case of brain envy, a strong desire to have a healthy, vibrant, and fully functioning brain. My life would not be the same without the lessons I learned from Amen Clinics. Step number 2. Regularly assess your brain. As mentioned in chapters 3 through 5, it is critical to assess your brain and important numbers. You cannot change what you do not measure. Periodic brain imaging can help, especially if there are signs of trouble or risk factors. We routinely screen other organs for trouble, but very few people ever screen their brains. When I turned 50, my doctor wanted me to have a colonoscopy. I asked him why he didn't want to look at my brain. Isn't the other end of my body just as important? In the same way, regular screening with brain SPECT or other imaging tools such as quantitative EEG would give real biological data on the physical organ that makes decisions and runs our life. Other ways to assess the brain include taking our computerized neuropsychological assessment, WebNeuro, at www.mybrainfitlife.com. Based on how you score, we give you targeted brain exercises in the form of fun games to strengthen your vulnerable areas. Knowing the health of your brain is critical to keeping it strong over the long run. It is also critical to know your important health numbers, BMI, waist-to-height ratio, sleep hours, and baseline screening labs discussed in Chapter 5. Work with your healthcare professionals to optimize these numbers, not just have them in the normal range. If you cannot find a healthcare professional to help you, call one of our clinics. Step number 3. Know and reduce your risk of Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. Alzheimer's disease is no small problem. It currently affects 5.2 million people in the United States, a number estimated to quadruple by 2050. Everyone in the family is affected by Alzheimer's disease. The level of emotional, physical, and financial stress is constant and enormous. Another frightening statistic is that an estimated 15% of caregivers of people with Alzheimer's disease have it themselves. When I wrote Preventing Alzheimer's with my colleague Dr. William Shankle in 2005, our argument was that the best way to prevent Alzheimer's disease was to prevent all the illnesses that put you at risk for it. Research from others has confirmed our original assertion. If you want to keep your brain healthy with age, it is critical to avoid the following risk factors as much as possible. Except for genetic risk factors and aging itself, most of them are preventable. Note the ones that apply to you. At the end, determine your score by adding the numbers of the factors you checked off. Those numbers signify the relative increase in risk for Alzheimer's compared with those without that factor. 1. One family member with Alzheimer's disease or dementia. 3.5. More than one family member with Alzheimer's or dementia. 7.5. 2. A single head injury with loss of consciousness. 2. Several head injuries without loss of consciousness. 2. 3. Alcohol dependence or drug dependence in past or present. 4.4. 4. Major depression or ADD, ADHD, diagnosed by a physician in past or present. 2 in females, 4 in males. 5. Standard American diet, 2. 6. Being obese, 2. 7. History of a stroke, 10. 8. Heart disease or heart attack, 2.5. 9. Prehypertension or hypertension, 2.3. 10. Prediabetes or diabetes, 3.4. 11. Cancer chemotherapy, 3. 12. Seizures in past or present, 1.5. 13. Parkinson's disease, 3. 14. Sleep apnea, 2. 15. Less than a high school education, 2. 16. Limited exercise, less than twice a week, 2. 17. Jobs that do not require new learning, 2. 18. Periodontal disease, 2. 19. Presence of inflammation in the body, such as high homocysteine or C-reactive protein, 2. 20. Smoking cigarettes for 10 years or longer, 2.3. 21. Low estrogen in females, 2. Or low testosterone in males or females, 2. 22. Within the age range of 65 to 74 years old, 2. 23. Within the age range of 75 to 84 years old, 2. 24. Over 85 years old, 38. Total your score. Interpretation. If your score is 0 to 4, you likely have low risk factors for developing Alzheimer's disease. If your score is between 4 to 10, you have a moderate risk and should consider annual screening after age 50. If your score is greater than 10, consider annual screening after age 40. To keep your brain healthy, it is critical to eliminate as many of the above risk factors as possible. Here are some very specific strategies. Risk: family member with Alzheimer's disease or other form of dementia. How do you reduce that risk factor? Be serious. Having Alzheimer's disease or dementia in your family doesn't mean you will get it. It means you are at greater risk of getting it. For my patients with Alzheimer's disease or dementia in their families, I recommend early screening around the age of 40 with Web Neuro. If your results point to any problems, then consider functional imaging such as SPECT. Risk: single head injury with loss of consciousness or multiple ones without a loss of consciousness for more than a few minutes. How do you reduce that risk? Prevent further head injuries. Doing all you can to avoid traumatic brain injuries, concussions, should be obvious. But unfortunately, It isn't. Many parents allow their children to do way too many things that are potentially damaging for them, which can then ruin their lives. One of my close friends, Jeff, had a 13-year-old boy who really wanted to play football. What should I tell him? I was going to help him find a coach to guide him, he asked. How about no, I said. But he really wants to play, Jeff replied. What if he said he really wanted to do cocaine? Would you help him find a drug dealer? I replied. No, of course not, Jeff said, a little irritated. Why? What if he really wanted to do it? In my experience, the damage from football is about the same, I said. A parent's job is to be your child's prefrontal cortex until his or hers develops, which is much later than most anyone thought. Typically, 25 in females and 27 or 28 in males. Risk: heavy alcohol use, drug dependence, or smoking in the past or present. Face it, alcohol is not a health food. According to a study from Johns Hopkins, people who drink every day have smaller brains, and when it comes to the brain, size matters. Another important lesson we've learned is that heavy alcohol, marijuana, and tobacco use lower blood flow to the brain and make it harder to think over time. How do you reduce that risk? If needed, get treatment to stop any addictions. I recommend that my patients completely stop the use of pot and cigarettes and have no more than 2 normal-sized alcoholic drinks twice a week. Most carbohydrates have 4 calories per gram. Alcohol has 7 and no nutritional value. Alcohol is listed as the 7th leading preventable cause of death. It is associated with a fatty liver, damaged neurons, and lowered blood flow to the cerebellum, which is associated with physical and thought coordination. Alcohol interferes with the absorption of vitamin B1. It disinhibits you, which is why you say and do stupid things when intoxicated. It also causes sleep disturbances and stimulates your appetite. Alcohol affects your pancreas and causes hypoglycemia. Remember the voodoo doll study? You don't want your spouse to become hypoglycemic. If you want a better brain, less is more with all of these substances. Risk: major depression or ADD in the past or present. Both of these issues are typically associated with low blood flow to the brain. Some people think late-life depression can be a precursor to Alzheimer's disease. Untreated ADD is associated with many other listed risk factors, such as traumatic brain injury, obesity, depression, alcohol and drug abuse, and smoking. How do you reduce that risk? Get treatment. Start prevention strategies as early as you can. Treatment does not necessarily mean medicine. In head-to-head studies, exercise, taking fish oil, and learning not to believe every stupid thought you have were shown to effectively help depression. Obviously, it is also critical to know your brain type. Risk: eating the standard American diet, SAD. The standard American diet, filled with sugar, processed foods, high omega-6 fatty acids, excessive calories, and trans fats, is associated with dementia, depression, ADD, and obesity. How do you reduce that risk? Having brain-healthy nutrition is absolutely critical. See Chapter 20 for more on how you can change your diet. Risk: being overweight or obese. How do you reduce that risk? Get to a healthy weight without fad or quick-fix diets. Follow all 12 steps, especially the physical exercise advice in this chapter, and the nutrition advice in the next. Risk: stroke, heart disease, high cholesterol, pre-hypertension or hypertension, pre-diabetes or diabetes, history of cancer treatment, seizures, Parkinson's disease, or sleep apnea in past or present. How do you reduce those risks? Get treatment and start prevention strategies early. An anti-inflammatory, nutrient-rich diet and exercise regimen are the mainstays of prevention for vascular and blood sugar issues. As far as sleep apnea, it is critical to have it evaluated and treated. Too often it goes undiagnosed. Symptoms include snoring, periods of apnea or breath holding during sleep, and chronic daytime tiredness. Even when diagnosed, many people have trouble getting used to the CPAP machine and simply stop using it, which is a huge mistake. Your brain is the most energy-hungry organ in the body, and any oxygen deprivation can damage it. We see that untreated sleep apnea actually looks like early Alzheimer's disease on SPECT scans. Be serious about getting it diagnosed and treated. Risk: less than a high school education or a job that does not require new learning. How do you reduce that risk? Engage in lifelong learning, starting now, and follow the advice in step 5 below. Risk: limited or no exercise, less than twice a week or less than 30 minutes per session. How do you reduce that risk? See step 6 below. Risk: periodontal disease. This causes inflammation and alterations in your gut flora, which puts you at risk for immune system problems. How do you reduce that risk? Floss regularly, see your dentist, and take dental health seriously. Risk: chronic inflammation. This is now considered to be a major cause of many diseases of aging, including cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and Alzheimer's. Inflammation is promoted by free radical formation, smoking, low levels of vitamin D or omega-3s, high levels of omega-6s, diets high in meat and or sugar, diabetes, long-term infections, gum disease, and stress. How do you reduce that risk? Anti-inflammatory diet, low glycemic, high fiber, omega-3s rich, and nutrients such as fish oil, curcumin, and vitamin D. Risk: estrogen or testosterone deficiency. How do you reduce those risks? Natural strategies to boost these hormones, and replacement therapy if needed. Engaging in regular brain-healthy habits will also help boost both estrogen and testosterone naturally, especially stress management. The stress hormone cortisol steals the building blocks for estrogen and testosterone. Decreasing sugar, which raises insulin levels and decreases sex hormone production. Getting adequate sleep. Adequate amounts of vitamin D, sunshine, and zinc. Oysters, crab, dark meat, poultry, beef. Strength and interval training. And losing your belly. Belly fat turns healthy testosterone into unhealthy forms of estrogen. Risk: increasing age. How do I reduce that risk? Be serious about brain health by using the risk reduction strategies listed here, along with regular screening. I turned 61 this year. After looking at thousands of seniors' brains, I know that I am in a war for the health of my brain. But I have seen many healthy 92-year-old brains, and I'm planning for for mine to be one of them. Know better, do better. I say this a lot. If you have any of these risk factors, now is the time to get very serious about your brain health so that you can remain vibrant and cognitively sharp for as long as possible and not end up as a burden to your family. Step number 4, follow the Brain Warrior diet. See chapter 20 for advice on how to eat a brain healthy diet. Step number 5, work your brain. Be a lifelong learner. The more you use your brain, the more you can continue using it. New learning creates new connections in the brain, but the absence of learning causes the brain to start disconnecting itself. No matter what your age, mental exercise has a global positive effect on the brain. Learning has a very real effect on neurons. It keeps them firing and makes it easier for them to fire. There are approximately 1,000 trillion synapses in the brain, and each one of them may wither and die if not actively firing. Like muscles that don't get used, idle nerve cells waste away. Community-dwelling seniors who took just a few weeks of cognitive training experienced significantly improved reasoning and speed of processing skills, as well as better activities of daily living 10 years later compared to those who didn't get such training. The best mental exercise is acquiring new knowledge and doing things that you have not done before. Even if your routine activities are fairly complicated, such as teaching a college course, reading brain scans, or fixing a crashed computer network, they won't help your brain specifically because they aren't new. Whenever the brain does something over and over, it learns how to do it using less and less energy. New learning, such as learning a new medical technique, a new hobby, or a new game, helps establish new connections, thus maintaining and improving the function of other less often used brain areas. Likewise, just doing crossword puzzles or Sudoku is not going to give you the full benefit you want. Just doing crossword puzzles is like going to the gym, doing right bicep curls, and then leaving. Here are some ideas for exercising various parts of the brain. Prefrontal cortex. Language games, such as Scrabble, Boggle, Words with Friends, and crossword puzzles. Strategy games, such as chess, Rail Baron, Axis, and Blokus. Meditation. Temporal lobes. Memory games. Learning to play new instruments. Also involves the prefrontal cortex and cerebellum. Parietal lobes. Math games, like Sudoku, juggling, which also involves the prefrontal cortex and cerebellum, map reading. Cerebellum. Coordination games, like table tennis, also involves the prefrontal cortex, dancing, learn new dance steps, yoga, tai chi. New learning tips. Spend 15 minutes a day learning something new. Einstein said that if anyone spends 15 minutes a day learning something new, in a year, he will be an expert. In 5 years, a national expert. Take an online course. We offer courses at www.amenclinics.com. Cross-train at work. Learn someone else's job. Perhaps you can even look into switching jobs for several weeks. This benefits the business and employees alike, as both workers will develop new skills and better brain function. Break the routines of your life to stimulate new parts of your brain. Do the opposite of what feels natural to activate the other side of your brain and gain access to both hemispheres. Write with your other hand, shoot basketballs with both hands, hit baseballs left-handed if you are right-handed, played table tennis with the opposite hand, used the computer mouse with your other hand, make your brain feel uncomfortable. Mental exercise is as important to your brain as diet and physical exercise. Step 6. Move to think. Physical exercise is the fountain of youth. It's critical to keeping your brain vibrant and young. If you want to attack Alzheimer's, depression, obesity, and aging all at once, move every day. Research has shown that cognitive abilities are best in those who exercise. Exercise improves the flow of oxygen, blood, and nutrients to the brain and protects the brain against things that hurt it, such as high sugar levels. It reduces stress, improves your mood, and lowers your blood pressure and blood sugar levels. Exercise decreases inflammation, fat cells, weight, and frailty, while at the same time increases metabolism, longevity, bone density, and an overall sense of well-being. Research has also shown that regular exercise helps to turn off the obesity gene, positively impacts those at risk for Alzheimer's disease with the APOE4 gene, and has also been shown to reduce cravings. One study even found that exercise helps people choose better foods, seek out more social support, and improve sleep. Best exercises for your brain. I like to keep it simple. Four types of exercise are great for your brain: bursting or interval training, strength training, coordination exercises, and mindful exercise. Of course, you should check with your physician before starting any new exercise routines. Burst training involves 60-second bursts at a go-for-broke intensity, followed by a few minutes of lower intensity exertion. I recommend you take a 30-minute walk every day. During the walk, take 4 or 5 1-minute periods to burst, walking or running as fast as you can, then go back to walking. A 2006 study from researchers at the University of Guelph in Canada found that doing high-intensity burst training burns fat faster than continuous, moderately intensive activities. Short burst training helps raise endorphins, lift your mood, and make you feel more energized. Strengthen your brain with strength training. The stronger you are as you age, the less likely you are to get Alzheimer's disease. Canadian researchers found that resistance training plays a role in preventing cognitive decline. It also helps with weight loss and losing belly fat. I recommend 2 30 to 45 minute weightlifting sessions a week, one for the lower body, abs, lower back, and legs, the other for the upper body, arms, upper back, and chest. A 2010 study from researchers at the University of Rhode Island compared body composition changes between two groups of dieters. Both groups followed the same nutrition plan, but one group did moderate intensity resistance training, while the other group did not. At the end of the 10-week trial, the group that participated in resistance training lost 9 pounds of body fat, compared with less than 0.5 pound for the diet-only group. Plus, the resistance training group's thighs got thinner, while the other group's thighs remained the same. Boost your brain with coordination activities. Doing coordination activities like dancing, tennis, or table tennis, the world's best brain sport, boosts the activity in the cerebellum. While the cerebellum is only 10% of the brain's volume, it contains 50% of the brain's neurons. It's involved with both physical and thought coordination. A fascinating brain imaging study from Japan found that just 10 minutes of table tennis increases activity in the prefrontal cortex and cerebellum. It's like aerobic chess. Calm and focus your mind with mindful exercise. Yoga, Tai Chi, and other mindful exercises have been found to reduce anxiety and depression and increase focus. Best exercises for your brain type. Which exercises are best for your individual brain type? In addition to the general suggestions for all types I just mentioned, here are some specific recommendations for each type. Over-focused or compulsive types, high anterior cingulate gyrus activity. Aerobic exercise boosts serotonin in the brain to help you get unstuck when you can't stop thinking about pepperoni pizza, potato chips, or checking your phone. Be sure to vary your workout each time. This will help you learn to be less rigid. When you get stuck on thoughts, get up and move. One study found that as little as 5 minutes of exercise could help curb cravings. Impulsive types, low prefrontal cortex activity. Aerobic exercise helps increase blood flow and dopamine in the brain to boost the prefrontal cortex and improve impulse control. Impulsive types need lots of exercise. At least 30 minutes every day is best, but make sure it is in an activity you love. If you don't love it, you probably won't keep it up. Yoga, that includes meditation, will sharpen your focus and strengthen your prefrontal cortex so you can make better decisions and reduce impulsivity. Limbic or SAD types, high limbic activity. Try aerobic coordination activities that are social activities, like dancing, or join a local tennis club or basketball team. The aerobic activity boosts blood flow and multiple neurotransmitters in the brain. The social bonding aspect of the activity can help calm hyperactivity in the limbic system and enhance your mood. Anxious types, high basal ganglia activity. In addition to aerobic coordination workouts, try practicing yoga or Tai Chi for relaxation. Relaxation exercises can soothe overactive basal ganglia to reduce anxiety. Step number 7, soothe your stress. As we've seen, stress raises cortisol, which can damage cells in your brain, steal your memory, and make you fat. Having a regular stress management program is critical to keeping your brain healthy for the long run. Without it, you are more likely to treat your anxious and uncomfortable feelings with drugs, alcohol, or poor quality addictive food. See Chapter 9 for a comprehensive stress management program. Step number 8, boost blood flow. Blood flow is essential to life. Blood brings nutrients to your cells and takes away toxins. New research suggests that brain cells do not age as fast as we thought. Rather, it is the blood vessels that feed them that age. If you want to keep your brain healthy, it is critical to protect your blood flow. Since the brain uses 20% of the blood flow in your body, I used to say, whatever is good for your heart is good for your brain, and whatever is bad for your heart is also bad for your brain. In 2007, when I wrote The Brain in Love, I realized I was missing a very important part of the puzzle. Now I say, whatever is good for your heart is good for your brain is good for your genitals. And whatever is bad for your heart is bad for your brain is bad for your genitals. It's all about blood flow. As erectile dysfunction is skyrocketing, just turn on the television and you'll be bombarded with commercials for Viagra, Levitra, and Cialis. So are brain problems. According to the Massachusetts Male Aging Study, 40% of 40-year-old men have erectile dysfunction, which means 40% of 40-year-old men also have brain dysfunction. With age, the rate increases to a frightening level. The same study reported that 70% of 70-year-old men had erectile dysfunction, which means that 70% of 70-year-old men likely also have brain dysfunction. In this context, blood flow envy, the new way to think of penis envy, seems very appropriate. To keep your brain healthy, it is critical to focus on strengthening vascular health. To do this takes three strategies. 1. Blood flow envy. You have to care about your blood vessels. 2. Avoid anything that hurts your blood vessels, such as stress, caffeine, and nicotine. Both constrict blood flow to the brain and other organs, and take measures to reduce your risk of coronary artery disease, heart arrhythmias, pre-diabetes and diabetes, pre-hypertension and hypertension, poor sleep, sleep apnea, and drug and alcohol abuse. 3. Do things that promote vascular health, such as stress management, the Brain Warrior diet, drinking plenty of water, practicing great sleep habits, and taking ginkgo biloba and omega-3 fatty acids. Step number 9, decrease inflammation. Inflammation, from the Latin word inflamma, meaning fire, is associated with many illnesses, including depression and dementia. Just as poor blood flow is devastating to brain function, so is chronic inflammation in your body. Acute inflammation is an immune response by our white blood cells to trauma, infections, or toxins where your tissue becomes red, swollen, hard, hot, and painful. It's the body's attempt at self-protection to remove the outside invaders and promote healing. Think about what happens in your body when you stub your toe or cut your arm. However, when inflammation becomes chronic because of a poor diet, obesity, allergens such as dairy or gluten in sensitive people, infections, repetitive trauma, environmental toxic exposure, or sleep deprivation, it is associated with the development of cancer, heart disease, arthritis, and diabetes, and can devastate your brain. C-reactive protein is a good way to measure chronic inflammation. To decrease inflammation, follow the Brain Warrior diet, making sure you get plenty of omega-3 fatty acids from fish, nuts, cooked broccoli, and avocados. Green tea and cocoa can be helpful, as can certain spices such as curcumin, rosemary, and garlic. Taking care of your gums and avoiding periodontal disease is also critical to decreasing inflammation. Step number 10, supplement your success. Many physicians say that if you eat a balanced diet, you don't need supplements. I agree with what Dr. Mark Hyman wrote in his book, The Ultramind Solution, Fix Your Broken Brain by Healing Your Body First. If people eat wild, fresh, organic, local, non-genetically modified food grown in virgin, mineral, and nutrient-rich soils that has not been transported across vast distances and stored for months before being eaten, and work and live outside, breathe only fresh, unpolluted air, drink only pure, clean water, sleep 9 hours a night, move their bodies every day, and are free from chronic stressors and exposure to environmental toxins, then it is possible that they might not need supplements. Because we live in a fast-paced society where we pick up food on the fly, skip meals, eat sugar-laden treats, buy processed foods, and eat foods that have been chemically treated, we could all use a little help from a multiple vitamin mineral supplement. Natural supplements have advantages and disadvantages. They are often effective when targeted properly, usually have dramatically fewer side effects than most prescription medications, and they are significantly less expensive. Plus, you never have to tell an insurance company that you've taken them. As awful as it sounds, taking prescription medications can affect your insurability. I know many people who have been denied or made to pay higher rates for life, long-term, and disability insurance because they have taken certain medications. Natural alternatives are worth considering for many reasons. Yet, natural supplements also have their own set of problems. Even though they tend to be less expensive than medications in general, they may be more expensive for you because they are usually not covered by insurance. Many people are also unaware that natural supplements can have side effects and need to be thoughtfully used. Just because something is natural does not mean it is innocuous. Both arsenic and cyanide are natural, but that doesn't mean they are good for you. One of the major concerns about natural supplements is the lack of quality control. There is variability, and you need to find brands you can trust. Another disadvantage is that many people get their advice about supplements from the clerks at the health food store who may not have the best information. But even when weighing the problems, the benefits of natural supplements can make them worth considering, especially if you can get thoughtful, research-based information. Of course, talk about them with your healthcare professional. If he or she doesn't know much about them, which is common, talk to a naturopath or an integrative medicine physician. In the Amen Clinic supplement program, we support brain health through multiple mechanisms: anti-inflammatory, omega-3 fatty acids, vitamins, B6, B12, folate, methyl tetrahydrofolate, C, D. Blood flow, ginkgo biloba, and omega-3 fatty acids. Acetylcholine, neurotransmitter involved with learning and memory. Huperzine A, choline, and acetyl L-carnitine. Antioxidant, N-acetylcysteine, NAC. Blood sugar stabilization, alpha-lipoic acid. Energy, acetyl L-carnitine, CoQ10. Nerve cell membrane fluidity, phosphatidylserine, PS. You can find products with these ingredients formulated by my team at our website, www.brainmdhealth.com. Step number 11, break through your barriers. In order to be an effective brain warrior, you have to be prepared for the inevitable roadblocks and setbacks that will come your way. It is critical to identify your most vulnerable moments and have a plan to overcome them. When people come to see me, they usually are not doing very well. Over time, if they work the plan we develop, they get better. But no one gets better in a straight line. They get better, then there is a setback, then they get better still, then there may be a setback, then they continue to improve. Over time, they reach a new steady state where they are consistently better. The setbacks are critically important because if we pay attention to them, they can be the best teachers. Do you learn from your failures or ignore them? New brain imaging research suggests that when some people fail, their motivation centers become more active, making it more likely they will be able to learn from their experience. When others fail, the brain's pain centers become more active. It literally hurts, making it more likely they will do whatever they can to avoid thinking about the episode, which means they are more likely to repeat the mistake. Learn from your mistakes and use them as a stepping stone to success. Also, who you spend time with matters. Bad and good habits are a team sport. Ask family, friends, or mentors to help you by supporting your positive behaviors. Adding healthy friends improves your chances for success up to 40%. Spend less time around accomplices or people who encourage your negative behaviors. If you want to change your brain, you need to develop a support group of healthy people. Many accomplices can change into friends if you have crucial conversations with them. Explain what these people can start doing to help you and what they can stop doing and what they can continue doing. Improve your decisions. Consistently making great decisions is not hard if you put your brain in a position to help you make them. In order to boost the quality of your decisions, here are the most important strategies. Start with clear focus. Know your goals and look at them every day. Make decisions about your brain health ahead of time. It is good to have a few simple rules, such as no bread or drinking alcohol at restaurants before meals, as they both lower prefrontal cortex function and have a negative impact on decisions. Eat breakfast with some high-quality protein to balance your blood sugar levels daily. Low blood sugar is associated with lower overall blood flow to the brain. Continue to eat small amounts throughout the day to maintain your blood sugar levels. Eliminate sugar and artificial sweeteners. These often trigger cravings and poor decisions. Get at least 7 hours of sleep at night. Less than that is associated with lower blood flow to the brain. Don't put yourself in vulnerable situations. Think ahead. If you know you are going to a party that is likely to serve unhealthy food, eat before you go so you won't feel hungry and lose control. My wife often brings food with her to gatherings just to have something in case of emergency low blood sugar. Step number 12, keep motivation top of mind. In order to consistently make the right decisions regarding your brain, you must have a burning desire to get it healthy. But more important, you have to know why you care about it. Write down at least 5 important reasons to get healthy, such as, I want to live longer, look younger, feel happier, feel calmer and more relaxed, make better decisions, have better energy, increase my mental clarity, be a better role model for my children, have a better relationship with my spouse, reverse diabetes, heart disease, or other health risks, and decrease my risk for Alzheimer's disease and other diseases of aging. Once you write these down, post them where you can see them every day. Knowing your motivation is essential to wanting to do the right things for your brain. The fork in the road. One of my favorite motivational exercises with my patients is called the fork in the road. Here I want you to vividly imagine a fork in the road with 2 paths. To the left, imagine a future of pain. If you don't care about your brain and just keep doing what you've always done, what will your life be like in 1 year, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 30 or even 50 years? I want you to imagine your brain continuing to get old and all that goes with that. Brain fog, tiredness, depression, memory loss, and physical illness. To the right, imagine a future of health. If you care about your brain and do the exercises I recommend, what will your life be like in a few days, in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years. I want you to imagine your brain getting healthier and younger and all that goes with that. Mental clarity, better energy, a brighter mood, great memory, a trimmer and healthier body, healthier skin, and a younger brain. Ultimately, with this knowledge, you get to choose. Anchor images. 50% of the brain is dedicated to vision. Having visual cues and reminders about brain envy is a very effective tool to help you stay on track. I have pictures of my wife, my four children, and my four grandchildren everywhere to remind me why I need and want a great brain. Plus, I have special anchor images that remind me in an instant why I want a better brain. My granddaughter Emmy is my primary anchor image. As I write this, she is 4 years old. Emmy has a very rare genetic deletion syndrome, which causes seizures and developmental delay. When her seizures first started, she had 160 a day. I know that I need to be here and be healthy to help Emmy and my daughter Brianne for as long as I can. If I am not healthy, I will never be my best for the people who need me. I never want to be a burden to my children. I want to be the leader of my family, but the only way that is possible is if I have a good brain. I post my anchor images where I can see them every day to remind me why I need to stay healthy. I suggest you do the same. Putting it all together, the Amen Clinic's NFL Brain Rehabilitation Study. In July 2007, former professional football player Anthony Davis came to see me at the Amen Clinics. He had heard about our work and thought perhaps we could help him. Anthony's 54-year-old brain looked like it was 85. It showed clear evidence of brain trauma to the prefrontal cortex and left temporal lobe. He was also concerned about the cognitive problems he saw in other retired football players. Anthony is a College Football Hall of Fame running back from the University of Southern California. He is called the Notre Dame Killer because in 1972, he scored 6 touchdowns against the University of Notre Dame. The students at Notre Dame hated Anthony so much that they put his picture on the walkways of the campus so they could walk all over him. In 1974, he scored 4 more touchdowns against Notre Dame. I put Anthony on the steps discussed in this chapter, and within several months he told me that he felt better, more focused, and had better energy and memory. Through my relationship with Anthony, I met many other active and retired NFL players. Meeting Anthony was also the impetus for our large-scale study of brain injury and brain rehabilitation in professional football players. At the time, the NFL was still saying they did not know if playing football caused long-term brain damage, but had never done any brain imaging studies on humans to prove it or not. My colleagues and I decided to tackle it. To date, we have scanned and treated more than 200 active and retired players. Clear evidence of brain damage was seen in almost all of them. The most exciting part of our study was that 80% of our players showed significant improvement on their SPECT scans and their neuropsychological testing on our program. Roy. Roy Williams came to see us at the age of 73. He is part of a 3-generational NFL family. He played for the San Francisco 49ers. His son Eric played for the Dallas Cowboys, and his grandson Kyle played for the Seattle Seahawks. Roy's cognitive testing scores for attention, reasoning, and memory were in the normal range, but he was significantly overweight at 334 pounds, which was too much for his 6'7" frame. Plus, his brain spec scan was not healthy and showed overall decreased activity. When I told Roy about the research studies that say, as your weight goes up, the size of your brain goes down, I got his attention. When I added that brain shrinkage is associated with aging, he got the picture and said he wanted to do whatever it took to get a younger brain. Roy runs a highly successful business that helps families transition their wealth to the next generation, so he was not too keen on having a smaller, older brain. Roy eliminated his bad brain habits and adopted a host of new ones. When he came back for retesting a few months later, he had lost 30 pounds, but more astounding was the fact that his attention, memory, and reasoning scores had improved. His brain was getting younger. Plus, his wife says he had the energy of a 40-year-old, which initially really irritated her. Over time, our program ideas rubbed off on her, and she has lost weight too. Marvin. Marvin Fleming is another example of how a severely damaged brain can recover. Marvin is the first player in NFL history to play in 5 Super Bowls. He played tight end for 12 years for the Green Bay Packers and then the Miami Dolphins, including the Dolphins' perfect season in 1972. He was 67 when he first came to see us, and his brain was in trouble. Marvin is one of the nicest people we have had the privilege of helping. He is funny, caring, and always looking for ways to improve himself. When I asked him if he ever had a brain injury, he said no. I thought to myself, you've played tight end for 12 seasons in the NFL. How could you not have had a brain injury? So I pressed him. Marvin seemed so proud of himself because he did not remember ever getting his bell rung, being unconscious, seeing stars, or being confused on the football field like almost all of our players. But I persisted. I had seen his brain, and it showed clear evidence of brain injury. I asked him about other potential causes of injuries, from childhood, adolescence, and outside of football, such as from motor vehicle accidents, falls, or fights. He persisted in saying no. I have been doing this a long time and had seen thousands of scans like Marvin's and knew better. Okay, Marvin, last time, then I will leave you alone. You are telling me that you do not ever remember a car accident, fight, or fall, or a time when you played football where you hit your head so hard.